can make you do it. Makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right. Comes back to the left. Going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown!
Unbelievable catch. Unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
It's a football Monday on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We are a little more than 24 hours and counting until the very start of the free agency period for the National Football League. What are we looking at, like 27 hours, something like that? And it kicks off 4 p.m. tomorrow, and we will see what it brings to the Cleveland Browns. Don't have a real feel for anything as far as what this team is going to do, and that is exactly how Ray Farmer and how Mike Pettine are setting it up. They want people guessing. They want people not knowing. We're going to do our best, Nathan and I, to put in perspective what we think and how we feel this thing could come together over the next, well, it's free agency is longer than just a day or two, but a lot of the most serious activity happens usually within those first 48 hours or so. Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal is going to join us at 1:15. We're going to talk more about Sammy Watkins and other Clemson players with the head coach of the Clemson Tigers, Dabo Swinney. He's going to join us at 1:45. And then we're looking forward to a chance to get into the nitty-gritty of free agency with someone who has been part of this as a general manager in the National Football League, Mike Tannenbaum, formerly of the New York Jets, worked with Mike Pettine there. He can give us some insights into what to expect in the coming days, some thoughts on Mike Pettine as well, and we will get into all that and more. Nathan, how was your weekend, my friend?
The weekend was good. Everything was good. Took the kids ice skating for the first time ever, which was a little bit of an adventure. I'm not so good on the ice, but they did a pretty good job. Had a very good time with it, so that was a lot of fun. But I'll tell you what, I'm fired up. I am very excited. We're one day away from the start of free agency. We know the Browns are in a very good position. And you and I got an opportunity to talk with General Manager Ray Farmer today. And the fact, I don't want people to read into the fact that they haven't heard. I've gotten a lot of feedback on Twitter. Hey, I haven't heard about the Browns being linked to anybody. That's exactly how they want. They don't want anybody to know what they're up to. At 4:01 tomorrow, people are going to know what they're up to. And the Browns are very excited. And I think it will be an exciting week ahead. And I think that there's going to be a lot of good stuff coming out of that. I got to sit down with them and actually interview them for ClevelandBrowns.com. So look for that video later today on the website. Just talking about his overall philosophies as it relates to free agency and the draft. But I think that this is going to be an exciting time to be a Browns fan, and certainly an opportunity through the free agency period and the draft to really kind of overhaul and remake this roster and change the culture around here. And as Ray Farmer said to me, he said, anticipation makes the appetite grow stronger. And people, I think, are going to be pretty happy and excited with what they do once things kick off in about 27 hours.
Really looking forward to seeing that video. I know you had a chance to sit down one-on-one with Ray Farmer in his office. That will be posted later today on ClevelandBrowns.com. Make sure you check that out along with the rest of our great content there as well. I do a piece talking about the running back need for this football team as well that is posted on the site. We've got a nice Carlos Hyde picture to go with that. Not saying that he's the guy that the Browns are targeting at all, but he is a guy who is someone that you would consider for upgrade at that position. And here's the thing, Nathan, what you just said about the philosophy going into this, the general approach will be twofold. They're going to go about their business in building this team with an eye toward, I think, three things, right? You want to, of course, get people who will help you immediately, but you most definitely want to have multiple assets thrown at the positions of need. And we know there are a lot of them on this team. And that means you could do that in free agency, but you're also going to look to do that in the draft as well. And I think you're going to work in these parallel worlds where you find a guy in free agency who obviously is going to be older than a rookie. He's going to be past his fourth season in the league because he's earned that unrestricted free agency status at that point of his career. But that doesn't preclude you. In fact, there's a great likelihood that you're going to address the same position in the draft to have that younger guy coming up and along. And I think the idea is, and it's always a balance. We've heard this phrase before, sustainable success. And I know it gave Browns fans a lot of headaches last year because all that meant to them was, we're not going to see anybody that's going to help us this year. That would not be at all the case with how this team is trying to build itself now. But it is part of the thinking. And what general managers hope to do, what Ray Farmer hopes to get done, and Mike Pettine hope to get done, is that they can put together a team that will be good enough, long enough, for them to see it through as employees of the Browns. And that's the issue here. If things don't proceed and show progress soon enough, obviously that hurts them. So they think about that in terms of their longevity. But they also know that if you just focus on the here and now of 2014 and get players who are going to be cap unfavorable to you by 15 or 16 and get older quicker for you, that's not a way to go either. There's that fine balance between building something that's going to last and building something that's going to be good sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see a mix of free agents that come in at different ages. I think one of the things that was clear in the last regime, you'd only bring in free agents that were 27 or below. That was kind of the sweet spot. I think you could see a little bit of variation because this is a team that does need some veteran leadership. So I wouldn't be surprised if a couple players come in who are in the 29 to 30 range that could maybe play at a high level for a year, two more years on shorter deals than to be replaced or buttressed by picks in the draft so that you can have that natural transition. I think one thing that is very clear is that this is a team that is going to stress competition at every position, and they may be very good someplace, and you may see them add assets there. It will be about creating an environment that fosters competition and gets the best product on the field. But I think Ray Farmer, and one other thing I want people to be aware of, yes, the Browns have all that money under the cap, but I think we're going to see a shift. If Ray Farmer, I'm going to go so far as to say, in my mind, if Ray Farmer maybe were the GM of the Browns last year, Alex Mack and T.J. Ward wouldn't have got to this point. I think that it's going to be important to utilize that cap space as an asset to not only bring in an influx of talent. I think we maybe will see them more active this year as they settle the roster, and then going forward it won't be utilized as much. But then to also have a lot of that money that's under the cap and allow them to lock up guys like Joe Hayden before it gets to this point, before they're in the final year of their deal and it expires. So I think you're going to see a lot of that. So don't expect all the money to go out there, and you don't want to bid unjudiciously. You don't want to just get into a bidding war and say, well, I want this guy, so I'm going to pay him whatever it is. That's one thing that I think people need to be aware of. You have to have a valuation and understand the market for a person. Now, the market ultimately will be, Vic, as you know, whatever one team is willing to pay a player. But you need to stick to your valuation so that you don't get your salary structure out of whack.
Truly well said by you.
Well, thank
and
you.
I think that's it. I think it's a big point. I want to go back to what you said regarding Alex Mack and regarding T.J. Ward. And the goal here isn't to throw stones on who was here before. I'm really not saying this to emphasize that point to do that. But I think it's important to note where these guys are coming from. I think the reason it should be reiterated that Ray Farmer in charge would definitely have avoided the issues that now exist with Alex Mack and T.J. Ward. And the issue is once you let these guys get to the end of their deals and you're not proactive in getting them done and kept on your team, it's a risk. You generally chance, in fact, more often than not, you lose the player in the open market. And there's a likelihood they're going to lose one of the two of those guys, and most likely that will be T.J. Ward because of the transition tag that is on Mack and the ability to retain him by matching an offer he gets elsewhere. But you're letting them venture out there. You've let those thoughts of doubts creep into their mind that they weren't wanted here. And they dealt with that. This isn't something that's come up now. Everyone forgets that you really start thinking about your contract future when you get into that final season, which both of them were, with nothing done. So they looked upon themselves as having one foot out the door through the course of the 2013 season. It's hard to reel that back in. It's hard to put that genie back in the bottle in their mind. Now, they are aware that Joe Banner isn't here anymore to make that call, but Ray Farmer is in charge, and he's had a chance to get in front of them, as has Jimmy Haslam and Mike Pettine and so forth, to get in front of especially Alex Mack where they made that full push to try to get a longer-term deal done with him. But his agent and Mac basically said, kind of too late now. Got to go explore the open market, and that's what they're going to do. Okay, as far as T.J. Ward is concerned, it's all in all likelihood going to create a need that this team didn't previously have at the safety position. And how right. they address that, we'll see. I think those who think it's automatically just spend the money on Jairus Byrd, and there's reports coming out now that he's seeking about $9 million a year, that's not happening from the Browns. No, I don't know who which team would spend that, but that's
Didn't
not an investment.
Didn't he turn down $10 million a year from the Bills?
Reportedly, he turned down something close to the 9, but I think it wasn't 10. And I think he's asking for 9 in the open market, and I think the Bills' offer was pretty darn good from every indication yeah. I got, and he said no to that. So but the most important part relative to the Browns to me is they're not going to put that kind of a price tag on the safety position. Now that may very well be where TJ Ward wants to go financially. I think he'll have a harder time getting there. But I think the point is now that position has to be addressed somehow. And if it isn't free agency, it's certainly in the draft. I think this team values the safety position. Do they value it as much as cornerback? We'll see. And obviously one thing we need to update on is that Sam Shields staying with the Green Bay Packers. He's not going to be in the open market. They're paying him a ton of money to yep. remain there. And his contract will impact the Browns as they talk and go down the road of talking about a longer-term deal with Joe Hayden.
Yeah, $39 million over 4 years. So now Brent Grimes is off. Sam Shields is off. It sounds like Vontae Davis is nearing a deal with the Indianapolis Colts as well. So the cornerback market's shrinking a little bit. We talked about the safety position, and a lot of people connect the dots to Jairus Byrd. It'll be interesting to see how they go. But we know that really nobody's seen anything. A source has not linked the Browns to anyone at any point so far in this process. But just now, Mary Kay Cabot tweeted, source told Cleveland.com that the Browns are, quote, very serious about signing Cleveland native Dante Whitner, 49ers safety. He would replace T.J. Ward. And I wonder if that's an intentional source, if that's an unintentional source. I wonder what exactly to make of that at this point, because I don't make a whole lot about what's coming out of Cleveland right now, because it's not much, which is good. I think the Browns have their plan, and I got a sense from Ray Farmer that he's very excited and very confident about that plan, and we'll see it begin to be executed tomorrow. Everything at this point right now is speculation, and a lot of it could be just smoke screens, and maybe there is some fire, but I'm not putting a lot of stock in anything I see or read right now as it relates to the Cleveland Browns.
Totally share that opinion. And as it applies to Dante Whitner, with all due respect, he's a Cleveland guy, but that would be at best a stopgap. And
sure.
Could they go stopgap for that position? They could. It doesn't, I don't think, totally fit what they're doing, because as you know, the parameters of this football team as far as free agency is concerned, I mean, the areas that they're going to look at, not that they're going to be 100%, but age is a factor. They may not be as married to that point that you made, the sweet spot of 22 to 27 year old roster, which was something hard and fast that this team previously followed. The history of health is another factor, and then what kind of guy is the guy, and can you get all three perfectly nailed with every player you bring in? You hope so, but probably not. You may have to right. sacrifice one to get. It's like filling any job candidacy. You want all these qualities. If you get most of them when you've gone through the laundry list of candidates, you're very happy to get that person, that man or that woman who fits most of those criteria you've put out there. Free agency isn't a whole lot different. So we'll see, like you said, how this goes down. But I think most of what you hear, and you're going to start hearing a lot, because agents are going to start chirping in the ears of media types to spread the word out there. You'll get as much probably wrong and false information as you do material that might be accurate, might be worth watching. But we're all going to do the same thing. We're all going to monitor and see what comes down. We're just getting this thing started. Nate Ulrich, we're going to get his thoughts from the Akron Beacon Journal. That is up next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.